You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three.
Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. He comes in, touches.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Marcino, a.k.a. Def Jam Gandhi. You may know me as NBA Injury Report on Twitter, and this is episode 338. On today's show, we're joined by Ashwin Ramnath of Posting and Toasting, which of course comes with a warning. Ashwin has a filthy mouth, downright disgusting, and this episode is loaded with cuss words, dirty, nasty cuss words. So, if you're listening with children or if you have a weak constitution, you should probably just skip this one, all right? Then we'll get back to my normally classy style of podcasting on the next episode. That being said, I had fun talking about a couple of lists that came out this week with Ashwin. We talk about ESPN's future power rankings, which predicts how well each team in the NBA will perform in the next three seasons. And we talk about Sports Illustrated's NBA 100, which predicts the top 100 NBA players for the upcoming season. Where do the Knicks land on each list? Is it fair? Are we outraged at their placement? You guys gotta listen to find out. But before you do, quick reminder, voicemail bag. We're gonna keep doing these. I like them. I have a lot of fun. Call me up at 929-377-5103. Rant, rave, ask questions, and we will get it in a voicemail bag. Once again, that's 929-377-5103. All right, let's start the episode. Hit it, Marv.
Yes.
So, Ashwin, we're deep in the off season. So deep. So deep. That light, like, doesn't reach us. This is bottom of the ocean deep. New organisms have evolved who can thrive in this environment. And we're so deep that we're actually going to talk about a couple of lists that came out this week. Rankings, listicles, whatever you want to call them. I got to be honest up front, I feel a little bit ashamed. Like, you know how Tony Soprano taught us that remember when is the lowest form of conversation?
Do you think that there's anything in your life that you can't make a Sopranos reference to?
No, especially since I just finished watching it for the 100th time with my girlfriend for the first time. My fiance, excuse me. I don't like the way you agreed with that.
Mm. Yeah, can't let her listen to this episode.
No, that's and we're no longer friends. So goodbye, and it was good talking to you. But yeah, no, there's not. Thank you for asking. List debate is sort of the lowest form of conversation. But on another level, isn't that like what all sports talk is? Maybe it's just me who's the lowest form of human.
Hey,
you know,
we didn't make the rules.
Yeah, we just obey them, and I think people like hearing about this stuff. So it's
and people like to hear us talk.
Really? Obviously. Yeah. I mean, that was the ultimate Freudian slip. I meant to be like, right? And I went, really?
I mean, I hope they like listening to you.
Jesus. Well, the numbers have been cratering since I took over. So
that's probably because you've had Alex on so many times.
Actually, we've done a lot of focus groups, and it turns out Drew is driving people away in droves. Not only just his ideas and his thoughts and his personality and his voice and what he looks like.
Just like his general being, his aura.
His general being, but interestingly enough, Scooter Toots, his Twitter handle, is what people react most harshly to. So
yeah, if you just, honestly, everybody should just send him horrible DMs. Tell him how much you hate him. It's great.
And Drew, if this is your first time on the listening to the podcast, because I joked earlier, we're actually growing at an enormous rate. It doesn't seem real. It's like Bernie Madoff returns on our podcast growth. These are inside jokes about frequent collaborators, guests on the podcast. And you'll get them if you stick around. And this will be your favorite part. And when we start talking about basketball, you'll be like, ugh, they're on this stuff. So yeah. I was told by David Locke, the head honcho, that we're supposed to make the new people feel comfortable. So this is me doing that, even though we started in the weirdest way possible. But lists. Lists. We're going to talk about lists today.
One big list that just came out, I think today, on Tuesday, I think it's Tuesday, was ESPN's NBA Future Power Rankings, in which the Knicks are tied for 18th with the Brooklyn Nets. So you know we hate that right off the bat. But if you're asking yourself, what are ESPN's NBA Future Power Rankings? I'm smart. I'm not the lowest common denominator. I don't read these stupid lists. I'm going to tell you how it works. The Future Power Rankings are ESPN Insider's projection of the on-court success.
Is this a ESPN Insider Bobby Marks, who has just a stellar career with the Nets previously?
It's at least a platoon job between him and, I believe, Pelton is involved. And there may be a couple
other... Did they include championships added in this? Because that's a really cool stat.
Explain. I barely know what that is. So could you quickly shit on that for our audience?
Yeah, so Pelton wrote this entire huge article earlier this year. I think it was like during the playoffs or something. And it was, you know, that the entire basketball season, it was just like these endless comparisons between LeBron and Jordan and whatever. I'm not going to get into my opinion on it because there is no opinion. There's only a right answer, and the right answer is that Jordan's the best player ever.
No debate for me, but we're not that deep. We're not that deep in the offseason.
Yeah, not that deep. But yeah, so he, instead of just like arguing his point that LeBron is the best, you know, which if you want to make that argument, there's hundreds of stats you can throw out there, right?
There are arguments I know this, to be made, yes.
And I know this because I am on Twitter and I see these constantly. But instead of just, you know, doing that, he created a stat called championships added. Yeah. And maybe next time Drew comes on, he can explain the methodology used. In my head, I just know that any stat called championships added used to discern the difference between any two players is probably very useless.
It does make me laugh because there is actually a thing called championships and you can win them already. It's like, no. The real mark of a champion is this championship added stat. And I know I sound like Vinny from Staten Island or whatever on some level because it's, you know, but we can quantify
accent.
Different stuff about how much you help your team win. Fine. But I'm also a goddamn English major. And you don't need to call that championships added because you're not adding actual championships. Diction is important.
Just make the argument.
Just make the argument.
You're already using stats to come up with this stat, so just use the underlying stats.
Yes, I agree. But no, I don't believe championships added are part of ESPN's future power rankings. What they are is ESPN Insiders, the most venerable institution in sport. It's their projection of the on-court success expected for each team in the next 3 seasons, right? And they break it down by players, management, money, market, and draft. I'll give you a little bit, like one sentence explanation for what each of these are. They should be self-explanatory, but some of them are a little weird. Players is current players and their potential for the future, factoring in expected departure. So if someone's a free agent in a shithole like Minnesota, you know, they'll factor in their definitely.
Hey, they just signed Luol Deng.
Yeah, I mean, it's the hot spot.
They're just getting the roster spot ready for Noah pretty soon.
Oh my god, that's okay. We're not that deep. Management is another category. Quality and stability of the front office, ownership, and coaching. Then we've got money. It's their projected salary cap situation, their ability and willingness to exceed cap and pay luxury tax. So not only do they have a good cap going forward, but are they, you know, not cheapskates, a la like a Phoenix? The market. Appeal to future acquisitions. I guess that means players. I like to think of them as human beings, but sure, you can call them acquisitions. Based on team quality, franchise reputation, neither of which are market, but sure, let's throw them in market. City's desirability as a destination. There we go, that's market. Market size, that's also market. Taxes, business and entertainment opportunities. That's the mellow corollary. I sell watches now. Thank God I moved to New York. Arena quality and fans. That's all wrapped up in market and then draft.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fans, that really buoys the Nets.
Well, also, like, that, it makes me laugh so hard to think that that could ever factor into a player's decision. Like, oh, yeah, like, love the fans in Boston. I gotta go.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it maybe it factors in if the fan, like, I mean, you don't want to go play, like, I don't know, Denver, where there's, they have, like, one of the worst attendance records in the league. You know, you want to play in front of people.
That makes
but,
sense.
But, like, you know, if you're a good team, people are going to come watch. So, like,
I guess I want to know how they define fans. Because attendance, okay, fine. But, like, don't tell me that, you know, Golden State's fans just care so much more. I know we like to think that as Knicks fans are the most knowledgeable, but come on. You're out there on Knicks.
Oh, we're like probably. I mean, there's like. I don't know. We're, Knicks fans we're are the as craziest.
Dumb as any other fans. You know, give me a break. I mean, not I we're the craziest. The craziest? Do you think so?
Like, in terms of how much we care about a team that has just been a disaster for 2 decades, yeah, I think it's up there. Kings fans are pretty good too, like that.
Yeah, they are. I'll give them that. You gotta have. I mean, I just feel like that's not. What I'm, that's not a reflection of the quality of people we have here. It's just what sports are, and the Knicks are a big market, and they've been around forever. Like that, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't believe that any one area of the country outside of Boston, which is a disgraceful shithole filled with monsters.
Well, and you know who lives in Boston? Should we tell everybody?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, Drew lives in Boston.
Drew, it's true. We love him, but he's got some problems.
I mean, he fits in perfectly there.
And then the draft is also factored in, which is future draft picks and their draft positioning. So here's how the Knicks graded out. Once again, they were tied for the Nets for 18th overall in terms of their future projections for the next 3 seasons. In terms of their players, they ranked 22 out of 30 teams. I'm not going to get into their stupid point system. It's so, like...
Yeah, it's like, not worth it.
The players section is worth 58.3% of the score. Okay, that's great. But anyway...
So, I used a box score prior.
We sound so dumb in this episode. I love it. So the Knicks have the 22nd best roster for the next 3 years, according to this. Their management is tied for 21st. This is in the league. Their money situation is tied for 6th best. Market is tied for 3rd best. And their draft...
What fucking market is better than New York? Get the fuck out of here.
It's they're doing California stuff.
Golden State and L.A., right? LA. Those are the two.
And I, you know, New York is bigger than L.A., but if you talk about their criteria for market is appeal to future players based on team quality, so that's factoring in, obviously, the Knicks suck right now.
Yeah.
Franchise reputation, but that should be like management. That's why it's a little weird. City's desirability as a destination, and for me, I think... underratedly, you know, as, you know, smart, worldly, savvy people such as you and I, we'd rather live in New York where intelligence lives. But these, I mean, they want to go where the sun is. So it's like L.A., right? I mean, I kind of want to go where the sun is. So on some, I feel like L.A.
Which is why you moved to Brooklyn.
Which is why I moved to Brooklyn. Well, that's because I hate myself and I wanted to go to the most expensive place possible.
Where can I get the least bang for my buck?
Where can I make every minute I'm awake a living nightmare? Yeah. And the food's good, though. So that, we got that. So, I don't know. I do feel like L.A. is a more desirable destination than New York for NBA players, roughly, generally speaking. The weather, the Lakers are a much better franchise historically than the Knicks. You know, so they've got
See, that. I just have no, like, proper way of gauging it because the Knicks have, like, never... I don't think we've ever been in a position where... I mean, the last time we were really in a position to go after free agents with, like, a core of a team that had championship potential was back in the mid-90s. And we signed, you know, like, we almost got Reggie Miller and Jordan, apparently. But, like, we didn't. And we ended up getting Allen Houston, which, like, I mean, now you think about it, you're like, that sounds not that good. But, like, at the time, that was, like, you got Allen Houston, we got Larry Johnson, we got Chris Childs, which was, like, seen. I mean, and technically speaking, those teams are really good. So... like, that could be, like, you know, that's the last time we actually had a pitch to make to top free agents. So I guess I don't
I was mean, so bummed by that free agency year, just when it happened. Yeah. I was like, who the fuck are these guys? Allen Houston. All right.
Oh, you didn't just get on a basketball reference?
This is pre-internet. All I have was the Post. Actually, I had the Newark Star-Ledger, which you'll recall is the newspaper of choice for Tony Soprano.
It is. No, I mean, I guess when you explain it like that, though, that's not like, it's not totally unreasonable.
Money seems interesting. Although I guess they're talking about salary cap and shit. But we know, I'll give we got to give Dolan this. We got to give him credit whenever we can, being fair and balanced. He's not afraid to go over the cap if for any stupid player. So
I think Dolan is basically just like, he'll go over the cap. Just give him it. Like, I think recently maybe this might have been, might be more of a focus, but I think now he's just like, give me a reason to go over the cap and I'll go over the cap. But you know,
well, that's the thing. I mean, I can't fault him for that, you know, for them going over the cap. Like, that's just what the GMs told him to do. And he's like, sure, I'll sign those checks. So I'll give him credit for that at least. But do you have any issue with any of those rankings? Like, just kind of hearing them off the top, 22nd best roster in the league. Should we go through team by team to see if this makes sense?
Well, like, I don't understand it necessarily, because it's like you're taking into account a further 3 years, right? Let's like, considering a 3-year window.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's so hard to wrap my head around. I mean, I'm so happy I don't waste time doing this full exercise.
Yeah, it's really like inscrutable. It's very difficult to figure out. There's too many things to weigh.
I guess more than anything, I guess I'd be curious to know how much Kristaps's injury plays into that ranking.
Right.
Because I don't think like our roster. I mean, our roster right now. I don't expect the Knicks to be good this year. I'm not delusional about the current status of the roster, but
it's gotta you play have in a lot. Sorry, keep going.
But yeah, I mean, you just look at like I think with Porzingis, Ntilikina, Knox, another you have all the first round picks coming up. Mitchell Robinson is he's at least intriguing at the very very least. I don't think Hardaway is. Look, I mean, say what you will about the guy's contract and all that stuff, but he does seem to have kind of ingratiated himself with some of the elite players in the league one way or another. I know he's been like hanging out with Kyrie a bunch this summer, and he worked out with like Wade. Sorry, what was that?
You said Hardaway?
Yeah. And he like worked out with Wade a bunch last summer. I don't know. It's just
apparently I have a weird statement that I feel like is probably true. If this list were not a cumulative, here's how good they'll be in the 3 years, but where will they be 3 years from now? I think the Knicks would be higher, or would deserve to be higher. And I think if it was like, where will they be 5 years from now, they'd do even better. Because I think they have one of the better, for teams that are clearly at the bottom and trying to move their way up, I think they have one of the best situations in the league for a team. You know what I mean? Like,
what really clouds that is
Kristaps, obviously, with the knee problem, but if you forget for a moment that he has that, that's the hardest piece to get is someone like a Kristaps, forgetting what like his ultimate ceiling is, like top 20 or whatever. So like I don't know. I feel like they're in a good spot. I feel like they've got good salary.
If Knox or Ntilikina hit and Porzingis returns and is like, back to being good, that's a super attractive situation and one with lots of, I mean, the thing with that's good about all three of those guys is, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves or anything, but like, there's none of these, top free agents that the Knicks are apparently gonna go after, and I can't imagine adding any of those guys to the roster and being like, well, I don't know how we're gonna fit these guys together. Like, I just don't see that with any of the guys on the team. So, that's maybe not a huge consideration, but I think it is something that matters. Like for example, I don't think if we had drafted the next Hall of Fame point guard, Dennis Smith Jr., that you could sign Kyrie, right? Like, that wouldn't make any sense. It would make no sense to do that. With like Frank, you could sign a ball dominant point guard. Yep. You could sign another wing. You can sign anybody, and I'm like, okay, yeah, they can play together. That makes sense.
Because, I mean, it's, you brought up Dennis Smith Jr. The Mavericks are at 17. They're one spot above the Knicks and the Nets. And for me, I think they're in a worse spot because I don't believe in Dennis Smith Jr.
So you're not a big Salah Mejri guy?
He's fine. He's, it's like, to me, their closest thing to Kristaps is fucking, what's his name? Why am I having, Luka. And, you know, he hasn't played a game yet, but I think he's going to be very, very good. But I don't really believe in Dennis Smith Jr. What do they have? You know, besides that, and then they're in Dallas, which is, I guess, an okay market, but do NBA players want to
play? Who has Dallas ever signed in free agency? Bueller? Bueller? Like, I understand the argument. People make this argument for the Knicks, and that's fair because the Knicks really haven't signed anybody. But last time, like, the Knicks actually, I mean, if we're going to be real, like, the Knicks did sign, you know, Amari Stoudemire at a time that, you know, maybe he wasn't the most coveted free agent, but, like, he definitely had interest that summer that he did sign with the Knicks outside of the Knicks. They did, I mean, forget Amari. I think the biggest one is, you know, the year after they signed Tyson Chandler. And, you know, Chandler, obviously, he was just coming off of winning a title in Dallas. He was anchoring that defense. You know, he was a coveted free agent. I know that Golden State made a run on him that summer. And he specifically chose the Knicks. And I believe, if I remember correctly, that he turned down more money from Golden State to come to the Knicks. And obviously, Golden State was not, you know, what they are now. So I think I would assume if the same situation presented itself, he would use his brain and go to Golden State. But, like, you know, I think that I don't know if people are going to criticize New York all the time for, like, it's not that attractive. Who have they signed? Which is, you know, to be fair, it's a fair argument to make because for whatever reason, most of it being that we've never had cap space, like, that's been true. But, like, again, who the hell has Dallas signed in free agency? Who have they signed? I cannot remember. I mean, they signed DeAndre Jordan. Oh wait.
And let us not forget avenues for improvement. The Dallas Mavericks traded away their first round pick next year for Luka Doncic. So
yeah,
they don't even have that. I don't think he's gonna. I love Luka. I don't think he's gonna make them, like, so much better that they're not gonna miss that pick.
But, like, so, like, the thing with market is, like, so, all right, with you, if you have a young team, right, which is, you know, like, a good young core, and, like, whatever, I mean, we kind of talk shit about Dennis Smith Jr. all the time, but it's fine. Like, he's a young player. He's definitely going to get better. Like, I think Doncic is going to be awesome. I really like him. And that's cool. Like, that's a nice group, like, nice little pairing of guys they've got going on. But, you know, if you're a top free agent, you're going to sign with a young core in New York over a young core in Dallas or, like, Oklahoma City or anything. And, you know, I just think that that's – I don't care what anybody says. To me, that's a fact.
Or Milwaukee, who's number 16. They're someone who obviously is going to be better than the Knicks this year or probably the year after. But then what's going to happen with their free agents? Are they, you know?
I've argued about this a lot. I think that Milwaukee is situated. I think Budenholzer helps, though. That was a really big hire for them. But, I mean, the pressure's on because – Giannis isn't getting any younger, and, like, he made a little noise last year about how, you know, like, they need to win. They have to win. And as much as it pains me to say so, it's going to be really hard for them to win in the next 2-3 years, which is kind of, like, the window they have to work with, just with the contracts they have and everything. And, like, it's unfortunate, but I think Boston is better positioned than them. In the current and in the future, I think Philly is debatable. I think they have a better future. I don't know if they're 100% better than them right now because I mean, with Budenholzer, I expect them to make a bit of a jump and just be a better team. I don't know, like, in a playoff matchup, I just don't know how it would work because
Giannis good this year, you know. But then what's going to happen? I don't know. Are they going to be good enough that they're legit championship contenders where people want to be in Milwaukee? Like, that's what it's going to take, right?
No one is going to ever fucking sign there. Like, I don't give a shit how good they are. Like, Oklahoma City was awesome, and when they tried to pitch motherfucking Pau Gasol on coming to Oklahoma City, he literally said he said no, signed with the Bulls, and claimed that it was because he was very interested in the museums they had to offer. Like, you know what I mean? I'm sorry. Like, I'm not – it sucks. I'm not even saying this as, like, I'm not trying to be, like, the snooty New Yorker. Like, it does suck for some of these small markets. I get it. But, like, if we're just – I'm not writing a sympathy letter here. I'm just saying, like, I cannot imagine – like, can you seriously imagine LeBron James? Let's say, like, like, if the Lakers had a worse core than, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think of just some, like, if Oklahoma City had some amazing young core, right? Let's just say they had young Russell Westbrook, young Kevin Durant, young James Harden, and they were pitching LeBron versus the Lakers team that he just signed for. Like, he's not going to go to OKC. Like, he's still not going to go there because that's a joke. Like, I'm sorry, but that's not going to happen. It's just not, like, this idea that market doesn't matter anymore is complete bullshit. As like, just look at all the endorsements Knox has signed. He was the ninth pick in the draft. Like, not some, he wasn't like a super coveted prospect coming into the draft, you know? He just wasn't. And a couple of good summer league games, and all of a sudden this kid's like inking deals with Puma.
That's true. But you, like, you keep bringing up matters. Oklahoma City. Paul George resigned.
Yeah, I mean, cool, bro. I don't know. I mean, look, no,
Paul
I mean,
George
he,
fan?
No, no. But I think it's different when like he got traded there. He played a year there, and they really went all out within the organization to like make him feel at home, make him feel, you know, like, we want you here. We're trying to build around you and Russ. And that was like the whole thing, right? That for a whole year they had him in-house and they did that. I think if he had just played out the year in Indiana and OKC, which they couldn't have, or they wouldn't have had the space, but let's just say they had the space, they were pitching him and the Lakers are pitching him. Do you really think in that scenario he picks OKC over LA? Hell no.
No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It's just not going to happen. Like, you have to have these guys. Like, that's why Milwaukee even has a chance to keep Giannis on the next contract, right? Because they drafted him, because he's there, because he knows everything about it. If Giannis was some random, if he was in Orlando and he was up for his next contract, he's not going to look at Milwaukee. It's, I don't care like how good their young core they have is and how cool the city is and their micro breweries, and I don't give a shit. Like, it doesn't matter.
The closest I can come to thinking of a team that overcomes a bad market would be like Boston, because I hate their city so much. But they're also the most storied franchise in, you know, the history of the game. So, like, that matters to people, to these guys. They're like, oh, shit, you know. There's like a little bit.
No, I mean, there's definitely
people love their fucking coach, and Danny Ainge is a good GM and all that bullshit.
Well, it's like the same thing with the Lakers, right? The Lakers have it like that, where it's like they can suck ass for 5 years and people are still like, oh, Lakers mystique, the aura of the Lakers, purple and gold. Like, they just have it like that.
It's true, unfortunately. Yeah, you know, it does mean something to these guys. I want to talk specifically about Knicks versus Nets being tied for 18th. But before we do that, I just want to remind you that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Nets versus Knicks. Should they be tied, Schwinn?
I think when you look at the whole situation, you know, the Nets have two max slots. There's like arguments to make for the future of both teams. I think that just from a player personnel perspective and the draw, quote unquote, the city, or just not the city because they're both in the same city, but like I just think Knicks MSG is just a bigger draw in and of itself than Barclays Brooklyn. You know, but you know, where the Nets have such a massive advantage is when you have a guy who's running laps around the rest of the league, running your front office like Sean Marks is, that's a game changer. That's just a huge game changer.
I was waiting for it. I was like, man, is he not gassing me up for this? So that was good. That was good timing. You really drew that.
No, like I don't actually even think like 18. Like I don't know.
For those who don't know, Ashwin hates Sean Marks and thinks he's the world's worst GM.
Yeah, that's. I think I hate all the people that act like Sean Marks is, you know, he's just doing things nobody's ever thought of or even dreamed of before. It's just like.
This would be indefensible to me if Kristaps hadn't hurt his knee. That's the only thing. Because, all right, they have max slots. Great. You know, like if this was a previous Knicks regime with who's running the team, just run by a bunch of clowns. But I like Perry and Mills. I think they're doing a good job. I think they seem stable enough. All the reports are that players like what's going on. They like Fizdale. It seems like, you know, they can actually like relate to these people, and they're not these like 100-year-old white dudes who can't walk anymore, either because they have like bad backs.
Is that, were you just subtweeting Donnie Walsh?
I was, it was both. It was both Phil Jackson and Donnie Walsh. Phil Jackson with his coat hanger shoulders and Donnie Walsh with his like band-aids on his face. Wasn't that part of one of the rumor? He was like wheeled in there with the...
Yeah, that was... I don't know how I thought that was like super disrespectful the way that was portrayed. I'm not even a big guy. I actually don't like Donnie Walsh, but like, come on, guys. Like, there's... Anyway, that was ridiculous. I agree with that. I think that without KP being there, I kind of can like see an argument. Mm-hmm. I do like some of the pieces Brooklyn has, like not in any significant star level way, but I think, you know, Hollis Jefferson is an intriguing player. I don't know if he's really that good in a five. Like, I think he's maybe, he'd be a good bench player. I don't know if he's a good starter. I think LeVert is interesting without having really established himself as anything significant. You know, I like some of the, like, I think actually I like Jared Allen quite a bit. I think he's going to be a pretty solid player, but like, he's also, I just don't see a lot of dimensions to his game.
They don't have the guy who other people are going to want to play with. Like, I do think...
You don't think guys want to go play with D'Angelo Russell?
Here is what Bobby Marks had to say about the Nets being
18th.
After a summer of shrewd trades by the front office, always shrewd,
Brooklyn and has... And if anybody knows shrewd trades, it's Bobby Marks.
Brooklyn has replenished its draft assets, opened cap flexibility for the future, and built a roster combining young players... Six players selected since the 2015 draft. So now just being young means you're good. With Reclamation Project veterans, such as Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris, and Shabazz Napier. Oh my God, so shrewd. If Brooklyn could get winning basketball from point guard D'Angelo Russell, the Nets will only challenge for a playoff spot, but also will have a selling point to free agents in June.
Okay, can I just say,
I didn't read that carefully, like, the first time. They're like, yeah, D'Angelo Russell could be a selling point for free agents. Hold on, one more sentence. Even if not, at least finally they can use their own first round draft pick.
But like, so first of all, Bobby Marks, this is the guy, he was in the front office when they made the trade with Boston. He was also in the front office when they made a less, you know, less maligned trade, but maybe equally stupid, the Gerald Wallace trade where they gave up the Damian Lillard pick. He was in the front office for that, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, first of all, his opinions as far as front offices mean very, very little to me. Being an insider does not mean that you are actually good at what goes into evaluating front office decision-making. And while I have no track record, I would rather have no track record than have his track record. So that's that. But like, D'Angelo Russell, if D'Angelo Russell plays winning basketball, hold on, I gotta pull up his fucking on-off numbers, because
that's a big if, and that's a whole paragraph. If D'Angelo Russell can play winning basketball, the Nets will not only challenge for a playoff spot, but also will have a selling point to free agents in June. Could you imagine any free agent being sold on the Brooklyn Nets by snitch master in chief D'Angelo Russell? Like, oh yeah, so I want to play with him.
Russell's whole thing is he's like this, you know, he's not a good defender, but he's you know, a very talented offensive point guard, right? That's, I think that's generally kind of what people see when they see him.
Sure.
So his first year in LA, team is 3.7 points worse per 100 possessions offensively with him on the floor. Also, obviously, worse defensively with him on the floor. Second year in LA, the team is 1 point per 100 possessions better with him on the floor offensively than off. They're also 5.6 points per 100 possessions worse defensively with him on the floor. And then last year on a Brooklyn team, which, you know, I mean, look, they competed and all that. I mean, they did, like, you know, they weren't a good team, but they competed, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you would think that such a great young talent would be able to, at least in his minutes, he would have such a discernible positive impact on them. And, you know, more or less, they were basically the same with him on the floor or off the floor offensively, and defensively they were 4.8 points per 100 possessions worse. So, like, he's never even come close to sniffing.
Helping his team.
Yeah, helping his team. He's not a clear positive offensively.
And if I could jump in for a moment, I love to add my percentiles. On-off, rookie year, 22nd percentile. Sophomore year, 13th percentile. Last year, his third year in the league, 26th percentile.
Could you just pull up...
And also, hold on 1 second. Here's a good thing. Here's another good thing about D'Angelo Russell. Fewer minutes every season. 2,160 his first season. 1,789 his second season. 1,231 his third. So that's nice.
Yeah, also, he's had a bunch of knee problems too, which like kind of goes under the radar because he hasn't had that one major like ACL tear or something. Right. But I think he's had a bunch of knee scopes and like he's had knee problems. But could you actually pull up for the on-off stuff, could you pull up Frank's and just compare his rookie year? Because I would imagine his on-off is...
I could. I won't. Fuck you. No. I was just looking at, you know, people talk about him scoring. He's very inefficient.
Well, he can't get to the rim. That's like the biggest, like maybe he can, but he's not very explosive. So like I don't know. It's really weird watching him because even though he's not explosive, he does have like a crafty handle and, you know, he can kind of juke and shimmy and, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, kind of slide his way to the hoop, but he just so often just settles. Like, he just settles for pull-up jumpers.
He's an incredible athlete. Like, he looks really coordinated. He looks like he's good at basketball. Like, he looks kind of cool with how he plays. He shouted about having ice in his veins, so that was fun. But Frank Ntilikina was a +2 on off last year, 64th percentile. D'Angelo Russell, again, was -4.9 on off, 26th percentile.
So, the moral of the story, kids, is defense matters. Defense does matter.
But if we can get him to play winning basketball in his fourth year in the league, D'Angelo Russell, then they'll be a playoff destination and yada, yada, yada. I mean, the more I'm thinking about it, this is horse shit. Brooklyn, you
see, like, I think a better argument would have just been like, look, they have all their picks now. They have some nice young pieces. They have a lot of salary cap flexibility to do, you know, they could, you know, maybe next year they can do the same thing they did this year and run out their cap space and get an additional first round pick or something, right? Like, that would be the way to present it. Like, don't sit there and tell me there's some free agent destination next year because they got two max slots and they have D'Angelo Russell. Like, I know that – I don't even know if the Knicks are real. Like, in my own head, I'm like – I don't really want the Knicks. I would prefer the Knicks to just like chill out one more year before they, you know, jump into free agency. Same. But like, it doesn't seem they're going to do that. Right. So that's fine. But like, I also, in my head, I don't think that the Knicks are like some awesome free agent destination that everybody should be dying to go to next year. Right? Like if your argument is they are good over the next 3 years, okay, I can get that.
That is this thing that, you know. I do think that if it's even remotely close, a player would prefer to play in Madison Square Garden for the Knicks. It's like, oh, we're in New York. I mean, you're living in New York, and that's – I mean, I live in New York as an asshole who makes no money, and it's great. I'd rather live here than most other places in the United States.
Yeah, and if I had money, I would love to live here.
So it would be fun, but it's a little embarrassing. Yeah, I went to the Nets. I don't know. Like – just like the Lakers mean something, I think the Nets mean something in a bad way. Do people really care that Jay-Z owned a half a percent of it 5 years ago? Like, does that actually – and their jerseys are black or whatever? Like, does that actually matter?
I don't even think it necessarily means a bad thing. I just think it's kind of like the Clippers where it's like, yeah, you're in a big market, but, like, you're always going to be the second
– yeah.
Like, you're the second team in town. It's just how it is.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I mean, like – they'll get some decent free agent at some point, but if you're comparing,
like, you know, this isn't like the Giants and Jets, right? Where, like, you know, they kind of split the fan. Like, this is not that. No. It's not even the Yankees and Mets because, like, I mean, the Yankees are definitely the more popular. When I say dominant, I mean popular at least, and obviously dominant in terms of like actually being good at baseball. They're the more like dominant franchise in the city. Like, it's not even that though. Like, they don't even have a fan base. Like, the Mets have an actual fan base. The Nets are so far away from having a fan base like that. It's, you know, they're not like part of the fabric of the city in any capacity. right? And like that's fine because they just moved here and so that takes time, but like that's just the reality.
It's
so
true.
Like your
and
pitch
you can't actually like they can't really have fans who are fans of the New Jersey Nets. It's like impossible to get to. It would be the biggest pain in the ass, like having to come from, like the Nets didn't have fans from New York City. They were all like Jersey people, and those people aren't going like through Manhattan to Brooklyn or through Staten Island to Brooklyn. Like that's a huge pain in the ass to get there. Maybe they have like 20 people like that, but
well, not to mention like they basically told them that their state sucked and they didn't want to be there.
It's true. No, it hurt me deeply as a native New Jerseyan. Although, you know, born in New York, grew up Jersey, live in New York for a long time. Anyway, I think, is there anything more to talk about with this stupid subject that I hate? Why do we do anything, Ashwin? Why do I wake up in the morning? You know what I mean? Do you ever ask yourself that?
I don't usually ask myself any questions.
No, you just do it. You just grind. You rise and grind. All right, I think that's enough for the ESPN future power rankings next 3 years. I want to talk about SI's top 100 ranking, which is of the top 100 players for the upcoming NBA season. Before we do that, I just want to remind you that you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So the SI top 100, it's who will be the league's best players in the 2018-19 season. They have Kristaps pegged at number 52. Here's what Ben Golliver had to say, the highlights from his blurb about why he has Kristaps ranked where he's ranked. If healthy, Porzingis would have a strong case as a top 20 player. By record and point differential, the 2017-18 Knicks were a playoff bubble team with the Latvian big man on the court. Porzingis was on track to solidifying his reputation as a franchise player, and his unfortunate injury was the difference for the Knicks between being competitive and non-competitive. KP delivered a positive impact on both sides of the court. He ranked number 16 in scoring and number 2 in blocks, shot nearly 40% as a high-volume three-point shooter, and allowed just 48.7 field goal percentage on shots attempted within 6 feet, a basket protection rate, which I thought was a weird phrase that I never heard before, basket protection rate, that bested Rudy Gobert, Joel Embiid, and Anthony Davis. Unfortunately, the greatest ability is availability, which is not true. And it's not yet clear when Porzingis will return to the court or if he will return to his peak level of play during the 2018-19 season. Now, I nitpicked the greatest ability being availability because it's, I mean, you have to be available. I get it. He's not going to be available for half the season. He figures to come back diminished at first. I mean, these guys are rusty if they miss a couple weeks in the middle of the season. So, to tear your ACL and then miss, like, lots of time of competitive play, obviously you figure to come back not so hot at first. I don't really have a problem with number 52, given that he is coming off that injury. What do you think about his placement on this list?
No, I'm fine fair? With that. Yeah. I'm fine with that based on their logic. You know, if that's the logic that, I mean, they basically say that if he was healthy, they would have had him borderline top 20. So like, clearly it's not a talent. It's not like they don't think he's talented or a good player. They just don't know what he's going to look like when he comes back.
Yeah.
And I believe these rankings are just, you know, they're top 100 for this upcoming season, not like the 100 players, not the top players they'd build around or anything, just this next year.
That being said, I would like to get angry at the players who are above him because I think that's fun.
Dude, I just want to get angry at Andrew Wiggins being on this fucking list.
What number is he?
Like why? He's 74?
He's
like,
74, yeah.
Put 2 in front of the 74 and like, you're in the ballpark.
I don't know what happened on NBA Twitter this week, but people started talking about like, would you rather have Wiggins than Noah's contract? I'm like, hell fucking no.
I would rather have fucking rabies.
That would be, I think I would quit. I would quit Locked On Knicks if they traded for Andrew Wiggins. Like, I could not cover this team on a daily basis.
Don't speak it into years. Don't speak it into existence. Don't speak it into existence.
It would make some people happy if I quit, but yeah.
Dude, look at his numbers. Like, what does he do that he takes a lot of shots? That's
He That's takes about a it. Lot of shots, plays no defense. He's just like a weird dude, I think. I'm going to look up some cleaning the glass on him right now.
Dude, it's
oh, points so per good. Shot attempt. Here, this is good. He was in the 24th percentile in points per shot attempt last year.
Oh, when you're leading a team in shots, that's good.
When you reduce your usage rate by 5 percentage points, that's also good. He got worse as he got a lower usage rate. So he needs to have the ball in his hand at a 96 usage rate. That's what he was 96 percentile usage rate, 28% of possessions, two seasons ago. And he was still only 43rd percentile in points per shot attempt. So he's never been efficient. He's making so much money. His on-off numbers are good. Huh. Maybe I take it all back. Let's bring over Wiggins.
No. His on-off is always skewed because Tibbs is psychotic and he plays his starters together.
That's a good point.
For like 79 minutes a
night.
That's
a good point. No one else plays, and when they do, it's like the ball boy.
Yeah. No, it's like if you look at all their entire team's on-off, it's basically that. But like that team is good because Cat is a monster on offense and Jimmy Butler plays defense for everybody. Like that's why their team is good. So get Andrew Wiggins all the way out of this list. Like absolutely not. To me, that just shows that no matter how unbiased and like how analytically oriented people try to be, if Andrew Wiggins was the 32nd pick in the draft instead of the number one overall pick, and if he had barely gotten a second contract instead of getting a fucking 5-year max, like, is he on this list? No, he's not on this list. There's no shot he's on this list because you can't point at one thing he does statistically that's good.
I'm looking at some stats. Whew.
Like even their breakdown of him is ridiculous. As each season passes, Wiggins' lack of follow through becomes more aggravating. He's attempting more threes, but he hasn't yet established himself as a knockdown shooter. He has the body and athletic tools to be a premier defender, but his awareness lags and he's often passive. He can sky for posters, but he shrinks on the glass. He's been surrounded by better teammates over the last two seasons, but he hasn't made meaningful strides as a playmaker. He appeared primed to improve his scoring efficiency as a complementary option to Jimmy Butler, but he settled into a wallflower mode instead. Taken together, these burgeoning concerns beg the question, is Wiggins the Iron Man also a Tin Man? Like, okay, so you just told me he has not improved at anything, he sucks at everything, but he's the 74th best player in the league because he plays lots of minutes? Like, that's the argument, really?
Brandon Ingram is one spot below him.
Yeah.
I think he could be better. I think Brandon Ingram could be better. Trevor Ariza is probably more impactful than Andrew Wiggins.
Well, Ariza plays defense, so yeah. I mean, PJ Tucker is better than Andrew Wiggins. Thaddeus Young. Everybody above him is better than him that I'm looking at right now. Like, Ariza, Ibaka, DeMontis Sabonis in a vacuum is 100% a better player right now than Andrew Wiggins. Like, he just is.
That's dark. Schroeder. Schroeder is not better than Andrew Wiggins.
Schroeder's another guy. It's like, I mean, he takes lots of shots.
Is Tim Hardaway Jr. better?
Yes.
Than Dennis Schroeder? Yes.
Is Tim Hardaway Jr. better than Andrew Wiggins? Yes.
Terry Rozier, I feel like, is definitely better than Andrew Wiggins. I don't love him, but Taj Gibson is better than Andrew Wiggins.
Markkanen is. I would straight up, like, if you gave 30 GMs, forget the contract. Just forget the contract. Forget even the contract.
I'd rather give that contract to Markkanen than Wiggins.
Yeah. Like, if you just ask 30, ask 30 GMs in the league, would you rather have Lauri Markkanen for the next 5 years, for the rest of their career, would you rather have Lauri Markkanen or Andrew Wiggins? I would be shocked if, like, I just can't believe that there'd be a bunch of GMs out there. I would imagine everyone would be picking Markkanen because, you know, he already has one skill that he's very, very good at, is that he can shoot for a big man. There's nothing that Wiggins does other than shoot a lot that is a good skill. And I don't know if shooting a lot's a good skill when you're that bad at it.
Any other thoughts on this stupid list?
Let's see. I did have some other thoughts. I don't know how to feel. I think DeJounte Murray should be way higher. Like, way higher. He should be way higher. Because he was second team all defense. Like he's really flawed offensively, but even then, like, he kind of just makes shit happen, and he's a pest on defense. Oh, yeah, like, Tim Hardaway should definitely be on this list over Kent Bazemore. Get all the way the fuck out of here.
It's weird that I know that offensive rebounding is such an important skill in today's NBA. So it's weird that Enes Kanter doesn't appear on this list anywhere, and he's such an efficient post scorer. You know,
just two must have skills in today's NBA, in the modern NBA.
We couldn't go an episode without saying it. I think that's it. This is all I can stand. Ashwin, thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you let the people know where they can find you online? If you have anything you want to plug, you can do that too. All that good stuff.
Yeah, if you want to read anything I write, I'm on Posting and Toasting. I should have a little preview of Trey Burke's season coming up, maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after. Not sure. But yeah, that should be coming up pretty soon. And I'm on Twitter at Schwinnipoo. You'll often find me crapping on James on Twitter.
He's very mean.
And engaging in very mean-spirited debates with Drew.
It's true. General camaraderie. That's what Twitter's for. You know, you guys should check it out. Thanks again. Talk to you later.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, that's it. Thank you so much for listening. If you've got a moment, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to the show if you have not already. Subscriptions help a lot. Tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks. If you have not already, we're trying to grow our audience. You know what I'm saying? Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks or NBA Injury Report. Be chill to each other. Spay and neuter your pets. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, why don't you flush it down? Always soak the pasta water. Take that. For Dad, a biggie's better than Pac. Peace.